This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share. You alone are my
redemption. We are still on Abram's faith, our father in faith. Abram was called the father of faith, and we have been exploring, I think it's part six already, this concept of faith and what made Abram's faith so great that God would call him not just the father of faith, but made a covenant with him and all his descendants and everyone who believed like him. And that today we stand under that covenant of blessing, of faith and grace, and not under the covenant of the law. And so we've been looking at this, we've been exploring his faith and his example that he set for us to gain insight into God's desire for us, how we should walk in faith like him. And like I said, it's been almost six sermons. Yes, definitely, it's been six sermons. And if you have joined us recently, we really want to encourage you to download those sermons. They're absolutely free on our website so that you can understand the context of where we are going with all of this. God called Abram out of his country to follow him to an inheritance. And Abram believed God, obeyed God, and it was accredited to him as righteousness. But that was only the beginning of a journey of faith for both Sarah and Abram, a beginning of a journey of faith as they chose to believe God, leave their country, and follow God to this place that he was yet to show them. A land of promise, a great inheritance. A journey of learning and growing in their understanding of faith and living by faith. They had to learn obedience, trust, and patience. But this journey in which they learned was not always perfect. They made mistakes along the way. But what is so amazing, even though they made mistakes, God remained faithful. And so too in our lives, in our journey, we're all on the same journey where God calls us out of the world into a kingdom that we are yet to find. And on this way, he teaches and shows us about this journey of faith. And even when we do make mistakes, God remains faithful as he was in their lives. After 25 years on this journey, Isaac was born and grew up to become a young man, a teenager. And it's at this point, as Isaac, the great desire of Abram's heart, was growing up to become a young man, it's at this point that God tested Abram's faith. It's a challenge to know, but the reality of faith is that faith will be tested. And so this is another pivotal point in Abram's journey of faith. And we read of this in Genesis 22 from verse 1. It says, "Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abram and said to him, Abram. And he replied and said, Here I am. And then he said, Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I shall tell you. And we see the very next day, Abram arose and took his son." God tested Abram's faith. But before we continue from this point, I want us just to take a little step back. In Hebrews 11, from 8 to 9, we read the following. "By faith, Abram obeyed when he was called to go out of the place which he received, to a place which he would receive as an inheritance, and went out not knowing where he was going. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac, Jacob, heirs with him to that same promise." You see, when God first called Abram, he did not promise him a son. He promised him an inheritance of a land, the land of promise. And Abram believed God and followed him. God said, "In this land I will make you a great nation." But the promise was not for a son. It was for an inheritance in a promised land. So I want you to leave this land to another land. And so on this journey, we see here, Abram had a conversation with God in Genesis 15 from verse 1 to 7. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceeding great reward." But Abram said to the Lord, "Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer from Damascus?" Then Abram said, "Look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born of my house is my heir." Behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "This one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir." And then he brought him outside and said, "Look now toward heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them." And he said to them, "So shall be your descendants." And he believed in the Lord, and it accounted it to him as righteousness. Again, we see this phrase over and over. And then he said to him, "I am the Lord who brought you out of the Ur of Chaldeans to give you this land to inherit." I am the Lord who brought you out of the Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to inherit. The focal point of God's calling was not the son, but the inheritance, the promised land. But also we see on this journey of faith, the son, Isaac, was crucial, not only in that inheritance, but also Abram's understanding of faith. The son was crucial in God's definition of faith. For it was not just any son. It was not a son from the natural birth. It was a son from a supernatural birth. It was not the son born of the slave woman. It was the son born from Sarah. The son from Sarah. Sarah was barren, past the age of childbearing. It was humanly and scientifically impossible to have a son from this woman. Ishmael was the logical alternative, a natural son, born from man's wisdom, man's understanding, and by man's will. But Isaac was born supernaturally, born from God's wisdom, God's purpose, God's power, and God's will. Abram had to learn this of faith. But it was not just the faith that he had in the beginning when he obeyed God to leave his country. After waiting 25 years, finally, the son that he longed for so much was born. Isaac was born, the son of faith. Now that son must have meant everything to Abram. Probably even more than the promised inheritance. It was everything to Abram. And it's at this point, God had a plan. That plan was greater than Abram. God called Abram to be part of that plan, of God's plan. And Abram believed God and bought into God's plan. And Abram's faith was in God and in God's plan to bless all the families of the world through this plan. But along that journey, Abram received his greatest desire. Along this journey of faith, buying into the plan that God had, God's plan, along this journey, he received his greatest desire, the son that he longed for, a son from Sarah. And it is here that God tested Abram's faith. We read again Genesis 22. "Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abram and said to him, 'Abram,' and he said, 'Here I am.' And he said to them, 'Take your son, your only son, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him as a burnt offering on one of those mountains which I will show you.'" The son whom you love. I believe God tested Abram on three levels. First, do you really believe in me? Second, do you love me more than anything? And thirdly, are you really committed to my plan? Challenging questions through this test that God gave Abram. Let's look at these three things. Firstly, do you believe in me and my word? In Genesis 15 verse 7, we read, and he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of the Ur of Chaldeans to give you this land to inherit. And then Abram responded, he said, Lord, how shall I know that I will inherit it? How shall I know that your word is true? It's very interesting how God responded. We read on verse 9, and he said to him, bring me a three-year-old heifer and a three-year-old female goat and a three-year-old ram, a turtle dove and a young pigeon. And he brought all these things and cut them in two down in the middle and placed each piece opposite another. And he did not cut the birds in two. What was happening here? God was saying to Abram, you ask me, how will you be sure that my name is true? I will show you. I will make a covenant with you. Bring those animals. Cut them in two. That's how they made a covenant in the old days. They cut them in two, and then the two parties would walk through the pieces cut open and made their vows to one another and point to the consequence of what will happen if you break this covenant. And so God said to Abram, in response to his question, how shall I know that your word is true? God said, bring me animals. Let's make a covenant. And you know what's so powerful is we read further on in verse 17, then it came to pass when the sun went down and was dark that behold, there appeared a smoking oven and a burnt torch and passed between those pieces. And on the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram saying, your descendants, I will give this land from the river Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates. And so it goes on. What is so powerful is God not just responds to Abram's question, how must I trust your word? He says, I will make a covenant with you, but I will make it with myself. Because you are not trustworthy. I am. Because I do not change, I do not lie. So I will make this covenant with myself that you may know that my word will never be broken. And so Abram got his answer. How shall I know that your word will come to pass? We read in Hebrews 6 verse 13, and when God made a promise to Abram, because he could not swear by no one greater, he swore by himself. How do we know that God's word is true? Because God said it himself, and he made a covenant with himself that what I say will come to pass. Do you believe that God's word is true? Abram, do you believe? He made a sacrifice and a covenant to prove that. But he did not only do it once. He did it a second time. And in the same way, he brought a sacrifice and he made it with himself. He took his son and sacrificed him for us all that we might know. My word is true and I will do what I have said. And so today we stand not just under the first covenant, we stand under the second covenant. A covenant made by a sacrifice done by God himself to prove to us that what I said is true. The question is, do we believe? Second challenge was, do you love me? Do you love me more than anything else? Do you love me more than your son? In Luke 14 verse 25, we read, Jesus said, now a great multitude went with him, and he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father, mother, wife, and children, brothers and sisters, yes, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. If there's anyone you love more than me, you cannot be my disciple. Abram, do you love me more than you love your son? The rich young ruler came to Jesus, and Jesus looked at him loved him in Mark 10. And Jesus looked at him, loved him, and said to him, one thing you lack. There is one thing that is above me in your life. There is one thing that I see you love more than you love me. Go your way and sell whatever you have and give it to the poor, and you will have a treasure in heaven. And come, take up your cross and follow me. But he was sad at this word and went away sorrowfully, for he had great possessions. Peter, after denying Jesus three times and Jesus' resurrection, stricken with guilt, decided he's going back fishing, going back to his old career. And so he went back fishing, and while he was fishing, the Lord appeared to him. And Peter ran to him, and it's so interesting what Jesus said to him. And when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, with the fish on the braai, do you love me more than these, Peter? You go back fishing. Do you love me more than these? And Peter's response is, yes, Lord, I love you more. Jesus said, then feed my lambs. Do we love God first, or is there something or someone above God in our lives? The third question was, are you really committed to my plan? Do you follow me for what I can do for you, or do you follow me for who I am? We spoke about that last time, John chapter 6, when those who wanted to make Jesus by king, when they saw how they met their needs and fed the 5,000, when they came him, Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs of who I am. You seek me because you ate the loaves and you were filled. You are following me. You are seeking me. You want to make me king because I can meet your needs. But unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. And they all left offended. Jesus said in John 4 verse 34, Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of my Father and to finish his work. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. The Great Commission. Jesus, the final instruction. Before he went back to the Father, he said, all authority in heaven and earth had been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the very end of age. How committed are we to God's plan? Or are we simply living our own lives? Why was Abram the father of faith? I believe he was able to answer all three those questions when God tested him. And it was not just in word, it was in deed. Do you really believe in me? Do you love me more than anything else? And are you committed to my plan? God calls us to follow Abram's example, to believe like him, so that we may share in an inheritance with him through faith. Galatians 3 verse 7 says, understanding that those who have faith are children of Abram. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abram may come to those Gentiles who through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we may receive the promise. This promise, this inheritance, I'll share more about next week. But for today, I believe God is testing each and every one of us this morning by these three questions. Do you really believe in me? Do you love me more than anything? And are you really committed to my plan? I want us to take a moment this morning as the ushers bring out communion. I want us to consider these things. three questions this morning. Do we really believe God? Not just in God, but do we really believe His words? God is testing us this morning, I believe. Do you really believe me? May I dare ask, what more must God do to prove to us that His word is true? He's asking us. This morning, I want us to take some time, and as the band comes up and minister to us, I want us to take some time as God is testing our faith. Do you really believe? And then I believe God is also asking us, do you love me more than everything and anything in your life? And I want us to consider that question as I believe God is testing us today through the foolishness of preaching. It's not our children, it's not our lives that God is asking of us. He's asking us through His word, do you really believe me? We sang earlier, Lord, search my heart, speak to me. I believe God is speaking to us this morning. And thirdly, are we really committed to His plan? So I want us to close our eyes and just take a moment. Because the challenge is not so much the answer. The reality is a promise of a blessing and an inheritance that far surpasses anything that we can gain in this life. And I want to encourage you as we go through this week and consider these questions. Next week we're going to talk about this inheritance, this promise that He has for us. But before we can get there, we need to answer these questions. And so I want to give you time this morning as we close our eyes. You speak to God in your own words as you consider these three questions. We can put those three questions back there. Let's just take some time. Spend it with the Lord. And answer them truthfully. And today is an opportunity. Today is an opportunity. If it's not yes, make it yes. Make it yes. Take some time. I'm going to give lots of time. Can we have those three questions again? Father God, you have given us great and precious promises. We're not even the pure olive tree. We're not even those you called from the beginning. We are Gentiles, outsiders. And from the beginning you planned to have us part of your great plan. So we are privileged to be crafted into this plan. Lord, open our eyes to see the privilege we have to be part of your plan. That we can also be included. Not because of a law or a circumcision, but because of your grace. You extend to us this opportunity. We thank you for this. This is a great plan with great promises and an eternal inheritance. Oh God, what a privilege to be invited. And all we need to do is to believe. Is to believe in you as God Almighty, Creator, Sustainer of everything. That we will bow our knee and surrender to you and acknowledge that you are God and we are not. And your ways and your thoughts are not ours, but your plans are not to bring us harm, but to give us a future and a hope. If we will humbly bow our knee before you, we can be part of this future and this hope. God, I pray this morning, if there's anybody here that have not yet surrendered their life to you to be part of this, but today you give them an opportunity. You give them an opportunity as you do to us every day to bow our knee before you and say, yes, God, I do believe. And I thank you, God, that whosoever believes will not perish but have everlasting life. The promise that you promised Abram, the blessings that was upon him, we can enter into through a simple step of faith. And if that is you this morning, while all the eyes are closed and you want to make that decision to say, God, here I am. I want to give you my life. I believe. I believe in you. I believe in your sacrifice. I believe in your word. That Jesus died for me so that I might be with you for eternity. If that is you and you want to surrender your life, I want to give you an opportunity right now. Just raise your hand and say, God, here I am. I choose to believe. Thank you for that hand. Thank you. You can drop it in. Is there anyone else? Now, this is the foolishness of the gospel. It brings back to us a choice of life and death, eternity or condemnation. This is it. This is the greatest day in history all over again. The Son on the cross and said, it is for you that I have died so that you may be free. Is there anyone else? Lord, I thank you for those two hands. Lord, I thank you for those hearts. Lord, those decisions you see into every heart. And those who choose to believe you, to them it will be accounted as righteousness. And you make them pure, you make them new, you take away their sin and their guilt, and you say, you are now mine, and I am yours, and I will lead you to your inheritance. And Lord, so I ask for each and every one of us, Lord, that we will make a decision today, Holy Spirit, if we've been doubting your word, that you'll show us again the covenant, the sacrifice that you have made to prove to us that you will do what you said. And Lord, today I pray, Holy Spirit, if you have shown to us, Lord, something that we love more, someone that we love more than you, God, that Holy Spirit, you will grant us to bow our knee and surrender it to you. to choose again today to make you our first love. Oh God, I pray that we will not just do it in mind and word, but we will wake up every day with you first. That we will make time to spend with you, not because that saves us, but because you save us. God, I pray that you will open our eyes and our understanding to see that your great sacrifice was not just for me. It was for your plan, for all of humanity. God, I pray, Lord, that you will make us mindful, not just to live our lives for ourselves, but I'll live our lives for you, for your plan, for your glory, that we may become partners with you, that we may share with you in this great glory of your plan coming to its fruition, coming to its end when you return on that great day, that we can rejoice with you. So God, as we take this bread, Lord, we remember the cost that you paid to make us part of this plan. It was not cheap. It was not easy. It was your Son on the cross. It was you becoming sin so that we may be free. Lord, we will never forget the cost as we eat together in Jesus' name. It is this covenant that you made with yourself that we can enter into, not through our works or our achievement, because you did it yourself. You did not wait for us to be righteous. You didn't wait for us to be able, while we were still sinners and enemies, trapped in our sin. You made a covenant with yourself that whosoever believes will have life. God, we thank you for this. As we drink this cup, we declare that we believe. In Jesus' name. I thank you, God, that this leads us. It leads us to you. It leads us to you without fear, but with confidence, with your Spirit within us, that we can cry out, Abba, Father, because we know, as we see and believe, how much you love us. Lord, I pray that we will never forget this, and that we will live our lives to you, God, to honor you, to glorify you, that we'll be sensitive to your word, your Spirit within us, that you will lead us into your ways and your thoughts. God, I thank you that we can ask this. Jesus' name. Let us just all stand as we conclude in a song. Let's just worship the Lord.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.